to Whiteside and missed the dunk, got it back. Kicked out Halliburton for three. Butter! Tyrese! Slick with it.
Here's Barnes off the turnover. Buddy catch and shoot three. Got it!
The following is a Hoop Goal presentation.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to a new Kings Court podcast here under hoop-ball.com. I'm your host, Vince Miracle, and this is the very first show now under this umbrella. And, you know, we got a lot to unpack here with the Kings drafting nine with a surprise selection, at least for me it was. I'm excited to talk about that. And then free agency right around the corner. And I don't think I could have started a show on a new network or talk about these offseason moves without this person right here, NBC Sports Zone, your Kings insider, James Hamm. James, what's going on, man?
What's going on, Vance? It's been a little while. It's
been a minute, man. You know, the last time I talked to you, I believe you were redoing some part of your house. You were, like, adding an addition to your house or something like that. How's home life? How'd the pandemic treat you?
You know, overall, it's been amazing. Like I like my family. I like spending time with my family. My wife and I have been married for a long time, and we spend a lot of time together. We go to dinner a lot. So, like, the pandemic life, I mean, was it hard? Yes. But, you know, overall, I think it, you know, I had a good time. I took up gardening again. So I have a greenhouse and I have a garden outside, like vegetables and stuff. And I built all that stuff. My house stuff has been done for a while. I added like 1,700 square feet to the house. But last year I did like I brought in a tractor and like blew up my entire backyard. Like I do stuff like that. But this off season after the King season, I threw my back out and like the first, which is typical. I've had back issues forever, but I threw my back out, right after the season. And I was down for like 5 or 6 weeks and like MRIs and everything else. So it's been a long journey back. I'm a little out of shape compared to my normal summer routine. I usually drop 10 to 15 pounds during the summer and get ready for a long season of eating bad late at night and just unhealthiness. But, you know, overall, I'm doing good, man. I'm just ready for another season. And, you know, I'm sure we're going to talk about this. Davion Mitchell pick is going to be a buzz for like a week or two in Sacramento. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah, let's go ahead and jump right on in that. So Kings selecting number 9 in last night's NBA draft. And like you said, they picked Davion Mitchell out of Baylor, a defensive-minded, gritty point guard. People are viewing him as a mix between Donovan Mitchell, Marcus Smart. I mean, I've said it, he's the Marcus Smart that the Kings have been looking for, right? And they get to draft him instead of going out and trading for Boston's Marcus Smart. And he actually has that mix between the, like, if you had to make a player that's ideal between Kemba Walker and Marcus Smart, I kind of think you've fallen on Davion Mitchell, like, as of right now, if you watched his tape. That's how I view it. But I mean, there were so many players available there. You saw the James Bouknight falling. You saw Moses Moody there. Şengün was becoming a big name that a lot of outlets were tying to the Kings. The soft promise that you heard about Franz Wagner. I mean, James, when you saw Kings at 9 and then they select Davion Mitchell, did your jaw drop as much as mine did? Because I was surprised by that choice.
Yeah, you know what? It did. I've had conversations within the walls but you know what, like in retrospect, it should not have. Like if you go back and really listen to, you know, again, with my conversations with Monty, like what he did not want to do was take a 18, 19 year old prospect and wait 2 or 3 years. He knows that the Kings are on the clock. He knows he's on the clock. He knows Luke Walton's on the clock. Like, look, you have got to improve this roster quickly. And so while a lot of us are looking at guys like Moses Moody and thinking, well, he's pretty mature, but he's pretty mature for a 19-year-old. Yeah. And I mean, and he just turned 19. And Josh Giddey isn't 19 yet. And Franz Wagner is 19. He's not 20 yet. And he's a sophomore, so people are saying maybe he's more mature. But at the same time, like, I've got to look at what it was that Monty was saying. And if they were going to stay there, they were going to take a player, regardless of position, that could help them now. And that is exactly what Mitchell is. He is a road grader. You know, you brought up Marcus Smart. That's an interesting, like, a little bit more Pat Bev than Marcus Smart, but Pat Bev with bigger hops, I would say. You know, sort of that ferocious defensive guy. But on top of that, Vince, I mean, he shot almost 45% from three. And if he's playing off the ball more, I think that he can at least be close to a 40% shooter at the NBA level from distance. He doesn't have an in-between game. It's either at the rim or it's at three-point line. But let's be honest, that's perfectly fine in the modern NBA. But I just think he brings a personality and like a physicality. You know, everyone talks about the dog. The Kings haven't had a dog in a while.
Yeah.
And if they did, you know what? It was a guy like Harry Giles, which it's nice to have a dog. But if Harry Giles is playing, you know, 12 minutes a night, that doesn't translate. Like, it's hard to get that on the court and like have him be forceful. You know, so I like it, but it just creates such a logjam. And so you got, like, I felt bad because I like Mitchell, and I think he actually, you know, when we talk about it, he's six months older than Marvin Bagley. He's a year and a half older than Tyrese Halliburton.
Yeah.
So, like, he's going to come in, and you're going to get into his prime in his rookie deal, and then you're going to get his entire prime in your second deal. And so it's kind of like the Buddy Hield thing, right? When the Kings drafted Buddy, well, then Buddy became a year old. Well, they didn't draft him. When they traded for Buddy, then he became a year older at some point, so they actually lost a whole year. Yeah, that was
a very strange situation right there. But actually, since we're talking about the logjam as well, right, so you're bringing in all the guards that we have. Again, for me, with the initial pick, by the way, my mindset was when you're at nine – and you're getting all of these offers, and the offers were out there for people to take on that ninth pick, and we can talk about that if you want to as well, but there were offers for the Kings to move back in this draft. If you're drafting at nine, wouldn't you think you should take a home run hit more than just – I feel like Davion's just a safe pick. I'm not mad that the Kings selected Davion Mitchell, but when you have the upside there of a Book Knight, a Moses Moody, or a Shengun, and don't get me wrong, I hope – Davion Mitchell turns into the best number nine pick in NBA history. Like, I hope he's great for the team. But like you said, now you have a logjam. Now there's more question marks that need to be answered heading into the offseason of, is Buddy going to be moved? What's happening with DeLon Wright's contract? Are you bringing back Terrence Davis, who you just made a restricted free agent? Halliburton's going to get minutes. Fox is going to get minutes. Where does he fit in on this team? And that's what I really don't know how you answer that with the type of player that he is. Again, only 6 foot, too. He's only 6 foot. I mean, he's a dog. He's a good player. I just feel like this indicates there's a lot of moves that are going to be happening this offseason that I think Monty even said it in his post-conference interview after the draft, saying, like, we're going to have to recalibrate the roster this offseason. There's a lot of things that we're going to have to do, and they weren't looking at necessarily positional need, but best player available because he's there at nine.
So. Yeah, and I also, you know, the Kings think he can play in a three-guard set. Like, I don't know if you're going to start a three-guard set, but a three-guard set with Fox and Halliburton, he's going to play in a three-guard set a lot. But also a three-guard set with Terrence Davis and Fox and Terrence Davis and Halliburton, you know, if Buddy's still there. It really is kind of confusing, though, because they have to make a move. And I'm not sure how they make the move, because what we saw with the Buddy Hield deal falling through at the last second, to me, that was about as emotionally draining a moment as I've been around in my years with the Kings. They were on the precipice of completely transforming their entire roster, and then boom, they were gut punched. Like, the Wizards literally snuck in and just swiped the deal. And I think that's whoever negotiated that deal in the press, once again, like, did the Kings a disservice, because if that deal was quietly moving along, then that's one thing. I mean, now we're hearing after the fact that it's possible that the Kings were in on, what was it, Marvin Bagley and the number nine pick for Valanciunas.
And like number 17. Valanciunas.
Yeah, and number 17. Yeah.
That would have been a great deal, too.
Yeah, so you're looking at, like, all of these options that maybe the Kings had, but they didn't pull the trigger. And but it could have been that Memphis or, I mean, clearly the Lakers situation was very specific that everyone was waiting to see what Montrezl Harrell would do because the Kings really didn't want to take back Kentavious Caldwell-Pope because it adds another $3 million in salary. And when you're looking at the Rashawn Holmes sweepstakes, that $3 million could be the end of you, right? So you're trying to make a salary cap neutral trade with the Lakers. And to get back to it, like, I think that Mitchell is a player that steps in and you know what you're getting. You know how good he's going to be. He will be able to play 25 to 30 minutes a night as a rookie. He'll be able to do exactly what Tyrese Haliburton did last year, which was shocking. He will be a major rotational player. Now, are there players with higher upside? There's always going to be a player with higher upside. It doesn't matter. I mean, you look at Jalen Johnson is one of the highest upside players in this draft, and I wouldn't have touched him even if he got the 22 pick from the Lakers.
Jalen Johnson. I'll be honest. I'm big on Jalen Johnson.
Yeah, I'm not. Like, lights are on and nobody's home. Yeah. And to me, like, the difference in mentality between the two, even if Jalen Johnson becomes a 28-5 guy, is he a 28-5 guy on a winning team? Does he impact winning at all? And that is always going to be the question. And as of right now, I cannot tell you that, yes, he's going to impact winning. And so if that's the case, like how do you need to win? And Davion Mitchell will win, and he will help your bottom line on day one. And so that's going to be the biggest thing for me. Like, as long as they can reconfigure the roster in some way that makes sense, they, at this point, you know, you can't walk into the season with Harrison Barnes as your only real forward on the roster. Marvin Bagley is your only big man on the roster as of today. You can't even really count Damian Jones and Shemezi Metu or the second round pick, Keita. But, you know, you have all of these things that you've got to figure out. And it's a mad dash. And you can hope that you can transform the roster. You can pray that you can transform the roster. Until you transform the roster, you cannot walk into the season with what they have right now. And that is exactly what they did last season. If you're going to run a 3-4 guard set, then keep them all. Like, I don't know how that works, but
I don't know
if you had like a 7'8" center that blocked every single shot and you just put him in the pivot and then ran all of these guards all over the place, maybe you got something, but that's not what the Kings have right now. They need to evaluate what they have. The only way to retain Marvin Bagley to retain Rashawn Holmes at this point is to cut at least $10 million off your salary. That means that, you know, you're going to have to move on from DeLon Wright, which now makes a lot more sense, or Marvin Bagley, which that's always made sense. So, like, there are so many pieces that have to be moved, and the window is, like, today, tomorrow, the next day, leading up to free agency on the 2nd. Like, there is no window here. Like, you have to do this now. You just went through the biggest transformative moment to start the league, which is the draft, and you did not make a trade to adjust your roster at all. Like, I expected on draft night, Marvin Bagley, Buddy Hield, and the number 9 pick all to be moved. I said that on D'Lo and Casey the other day. Nothing happened. And so where are you? And you added a player at a position that was not a position of need. You still have multiple needs at the small forward spot. You still have multiple needs at the center spot, multiple needs at the power forward spot. Where do you go from here?
And look, I've been thinking about this since probably last night. Once you start looking at this roster and what they're going to do, and really once I heard that they're going to run three-guard sets. I knew that. That can't be true. There's no way you're running a three-guard set in this league right now. I know a lot of people think you can do it. You can't. I mean, even if you see a three-guard set on most teams, they're 6'5 and up. You're going to have a guy who's 6 foot running around doing that stuff. You can't do that in a team like Boston with Kemba. Like, when I view Davion Mitchell, I think of just Kemba Walker. And I think Kemba Walker 6'3", so even taller than what Davion is now. But my question is this to you, James. Because these rumors came out of all of these trades with Buddy, with potentially Marvin now for Valanciunas, it kind of, in my opinion, has hurt the value of what kind of return the Kings can get because they keep waiting so long. There's only so many players available right now. And I get shooting is always going to be a high priority. What is Marvin Bagley is going to continue to come into question because he's never really healthy enough to prove what he's worth. The number nine pick is now Davion Mitchell, and it seems like they want to keep him. What do you really have? What can you really get back? That's why I thought before that pick was made is when the Kings should have made that selection, because not knowing what you have and the talent that was available there at number nine is when you should have pulled the trigger on a deal. If, let's say, Valanciunas was still available or any trade down lower to maybe the Pacers to see if they wanted to get a guy like Buddy Hield in number nine, and you can move to what the Pacers had picked number 14, 13.
13, yeah.
There's something there. I mean, you need a center. Miles Turner has been actively known to be on the trade market. I just feel like now when you don't make that deal, now you don't have the question mark of, oh, I could have had this number nine pick and selected this player. Like when a book night's available, what is a possible return for a guy like Buddy, a possible return like a guy like Marvin Bagley? I don't think you'll really get anything for DeLon Wright except for him to be packaged together and something. So those are your key pieces now, is just Bagley and Buddy. And I don't know what you get back for that since you didn't pull the trigger on the deals of that number nine pick tied to them.
Well, okay, I'm going to say this. Two things. Well, a couple of things. More than two. Number one, Davion Mitchell plays much bigger than 6'1". And so, and I don't see him as Kemba Walker at all. I see him as either Marcus Smart with a better three-point shot or Pat Bev with a better three-point shot and better distributor qualities. Like, he can be a better playmaker for his teammates.
Before you continue, can I tell you who he scares me of, who I think he, like, worst-case scenario, I hope he doesn't turn into this player, is Dennis Smith Jr.
Well, no, because Dennis Smith Jr., again, doesn't play any defense. And Dennis Smith Jr.,
no, I'm just saying that's just
so
I'm
you know,
of.
Like, the reason why Dennis Smith Jr. fell in the draft and the reason why he's bounced around from one team to the next is because he's the anti Davion Mitchell.
It's because
his personality is not of a leader. It's not of a guy who's going to be a difference maker. He has all the skills in the world. He's got a 45-inch vert. You know, to me, he always looked like Marbury. I always thought he could develop and be great. But at NC State, he walked in the door and on day one said, "Look, I'm not here to make friends. I'm here to do my work, and I'm leaving at the end of the season, and so good luck with that."
Yeah.
And completely destroyed their camaraderie on the team, and they lost. So, like, look, when you're getting a player who is 23 and not 19, you're getting a player who, like, you know who he is. He is who he is. And let's not fool ourselves and think that, you know, Kemba Walker isn't around 6'1", and that that Chris Paul is 6'1". Like, players have worked in the NBA at that size forever. I mean, Pat Bev is a little bit bigger,
Isaiah
but like
Thomas.
6'2".
Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah, I mean, Isaiah Thomas is 5'8", 5'9".
He's my
height. I mean, he works, but again, we're talking about a different type of player. We're talking about a guy who is going to, I mean, he'll punch somebody. He's going to agitate. He's going to get under the skin of people. He is the personality. He will demand that his teammates do what they have to do. That they, it, there is no, the Kings have a culture of my bad. That is the worst culture you can possibly have.
Mm-hmm.
How many times, like, Buddy Hield averaged 10 three-pointers a game. I wonder what his my bad ratio it was for the season. Like, his my bad to 10 threes. Was it 8 to 10? Like, how many times you, like, pound your chest, my bad, sorry about that. Sorry, I forgot how to do pick and roll defense. Sorry, I, for a four-game stretch out of nowhere, he stopped like getting the back cut and got back cut like six times a game. And the Kings are like, Walton kept saying, like, this is the same exact coverage we've had on the back cut for the last two seasons. Like, I don't know why we're getting beat on the back cut every single game. So, like, again, the my bad culture, the taking accountability, but in a way that means nothing, that has to stop. And that's where Davion Mitchell, to me, is going to step in and say, look, I'm done. Like, there is no more my bad, or we're going to go in the locker room and we're going to fight. Like, this is, like, you're going to do your job. And I don't care that I'm a rookie. I'm a 23-year-old rookie who's a grown man who isn't worried about, like, getting his first car or you know, the things that 19-year-old rookies coming into the league, living on their own, paying their bills. I mean, he's a grown man. So at a certain point, like, that's where I look at this and go, okay, like, look, you had to find that player. And it does not matter if he's a point guard or if he's a center or if he's a small forward or a power forward, whatever it was, this team, if they are going to get better, had to find that player. And he is the best at it in this draft. The only other guy that I think has that quality where you circle and go, oh, man, you see it, is there is only one, and it's Scotty Barnes.
I was literally going to say it right before you said it, too.
Yeah, and then, you know, like you say Book Knight. Well, Book Knight is a two. He can't play the three at all.
Right.
And he doesn't – he's not a great defensive player, and he's not a great passer. There's too many things that he doesn't do. And like Moses Moody, he fits a need, but you cannot draft for need. You have to draft for potential. I really liked Moses Moody. He's the guy I thought – the Kings would draft because, you know, like without shoes, he's like 6'4" and a half, but with a 7'1" wingspan. And that's what I've seen from Monty McNair. But like, I'll also tell you that the Kings could retain Mo Harkless on a budget contract. And in the next 2 years, Mo Harkless is going to be a better player than Moses Moody. Like, that's the dynamic of the league. An 18, 19-year-old kid coming into the league, he can score, he can have some moments, but he will not impact winning. A 27, 28-year-old guy who's seasoned, who's been to the Western Conference Finals, even if he's not hitting his three-point shot, he still impacts winning more than a guy like Moses Moody. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know. I think Moody's going to be out with the Warriors, though. He's going to have a role in that. I feel like he's going to be that Sean Livingston role. He's going to have an impact on winning with that Warriors team. I mean,
maybe, but it won't be in year one. I mean, in year one, I would trust who's
but
the –
But maybe year two. I mean
– What's that?
Maybe
year two. In year two or year three? Yes. Yes, but the Warriors are trying to win. The Warriors will not win more games because of their draft this year.
Right.
And I love their draft. I mean, Kuminga at number 7 is nuts. Like, that is spectacular.
And then to get Moody all the way at 14 was insane. I couldn't believe that he fell that low.
I totally agree with you on that, and I like Moody. But, like, Moody in year one and year two is going to be a set shooter in the corner and a defensive player, but he's not even known as a great defender. He's known as a guy who has potential to be a great defender. Mm-hmm. So, again, look at like who he really sort of looks like is Phoenix Suns, Mikal Bridges, right? That's who he kind of looks like, right? And Mikal Bridges, it took him 3 years to get to where he's at. Two or three. I can't remember. He's like I think he's a third year.
Yeah, third year he's become what he is now. I think year two you started really seeing that development though on those backline slashes, the way he was able to push the fast break. I love Mikal Bridges.
But he wasn't impactful. That team last year was god awful until they won 8 straight in the bubble. They were horrible. They shouldn't have been invited to the bubble.
He was a key reason for that too though.
What's that?
He was a key reason for their 8 wins in that bubble, too. His defense was insane.
No, I totally agree. But the thing is, you're getting him in year 3, and we can all look at Mikal Bridges and know right now that in year 5, he is going to be
a stud.
So good. But that's 5 years.
Yeah. I hear you.
The Kings can't get to 20 years of not making the playoffs. At some point, you have to do what's best for right now, and you have to make moves that that impact the bottom line, which is winning. You have to change the culture of the team. Winning will bring you more players.
So then let me ask you this, and let's go back to the original question, which is, now that they've selected Mitchell, not making a move prior to making that pick at 9, do you think it hurts the value of getting the return of a Buddy or a Marvin? Because even though they have these players, I don't know what their return is. That's why I saw, when you saw you get Harrell, Kuzma, and potentially number 22 for a Buddy Hield at 9, that's a deal that you should have pulled the trigger on. Marvin Bagley at 9 for Jonas Valanciunas. Again, I think that's a deal you should have pulled the trigger on. Now what do you get? I get shooting will always be wanted, but not being able to package that pick, because it looks like the Kings are going to be keeping Mitchell. That's 100. That seems like a 100% thing.
No,
they're keeping him.
I agree with that. So, okay, so I'll just respond with this. Just because it's reported doesn't mean that both sides were interested, that both sides had, like, you hear these people in Philadelphia, like, talking about, oh, you know, we're going to get De'Aaron Fox for Ben Simmons. And the way that conversation went was, hey, we're interested in Ben Simmons. And it was like, and they laid out a package, including Buddy Hield and some other stuff. And the Philadelphia 76ers responded with, well, we're going to start with De'Aaron Fox. And that's kind of like, if De'Aaron Fox isn't on the table, and the Kings, like, okay, the conversation's over.
Talk to you later.
Yeah. But that doesn't mean, like, people say, oh, well, De'Aaron Fox, now the reports are De'Aaron Fox was talked about in a potential trade to the 76ers. Well, no, that's not what that was. The Kings haven't discussed De'Aaron Fox as a potential piece in that deal, at least not to my knowledge. And so you have to look at each of these deals and say, okay, how close was it? Who was it that said yes, and who was it that said no? Again, when it comes to the Lakers deal, that entire deal was hinged upon Montrezl Harrell opting into his contract. If he did not want to play for the Kings, he could have said no. We, at this point, just so you know, we don't even know if Harrell and the Lakers had a discussion and they said, hey, we could get you to the Kings. And he said, no, this is a possibility. He said, no, we can get you to the Wizards. Would you take the deal for the Wizards? All right, I'll go play with Bradley Beal. I'll opt in. So we don't even know if that was, like, where it was. So right. We can look at these deals and we say, why didn't you make the deal? That makes us better. But at the same time, we don't know where those deals were as far as, like, structurally, how deep they were, right, like how close they were to happening. And I'll tell you, straight up, Valanciunas for Marvin Bagley in the number 9 with the 17 going back, someone else was involved, because that deal doesn't work financially. One of them makes $11.3 million. One of them makes, like, I don't know, was Valanciunas like $18 million. And let's be honest, how would Valanciunas be received in Sacramento? After, like, you trade for the guy who ripped Chimezi Metu off the rim and threw him on the ground and broke his wrist. And the league did nothing about it, which was one of the most egregious, embarrassing things I've ever seen in the modern NBA. I mean, like, the old school, that's fine. You punch guys, you do whatever you want. Mm-hmm. But in the modern NBA, where you protect players, they didn't protect a two-way player. And that's it. The league can argue with me all they want. I'll tell them to their face, I've never seen a player grab another player by the leg and pull him off the rim and throw him to the ground and have his wrist get broken.
Right.
And not get a flagrant foul, not get a flagrant 2, not get a 3-game suspension, mm-hmm. not get anything. To me, that was like, so again, we can talk about Valanciunas. We don't know what the deal was. We can only listen to, I think it was Windhorse who put that one out there.
It was.
But I'll just tell you this. Did he write that beforehand? Did he put that in print?
No, I believe it was purely on the podcast.
Yeah, the answer is he did not. No one wrote that deal. No one knows exactly what the deal was. We don't, you know, there are too many things that come into play here. And I'll also tell you this. Did anyone in the league report Corey Joseph and 2 number 2s for DeLon right before it happened?
No, I don't believe so.
No. Did anyone in the league report Nemanja Bjelica to the Miami Heat for Mo Harkless?
No.
Did anyone in the league report a second round pick?
These are more like secondary guys, though. Like, but when you come,
it doesn't matter that you still have some guy out there who's reporting stuff, because every single one of these has value to each of our each of us as reporters. You didn't see Terrence Davis for a second round pick, and did anyone notice what happened when the Kings were on the clock? Everyone sat there and watched their TV. Everyone sat there and watched Twitter, and it said, with the eighth pick, the Toronto Raptors will select or are honed in on Franz Wagner. We all watched the same Twitter feed of Shams and Wojnarowski just sitting there waiting to be told by somebody who was going, and it never happened until the last second.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
their time was up. So, I don't know if you guys saw that either. Their time got expired before the news came out that they picked Davion Mitchell. I don't know if anyone knows. I was literally sitting on my phone, where are we getting a trade? Because there was no notifications at all from Woj or Shams, from ESPN. No one knew what was happening at number nine.
So my point is nobody knows what Monty McNair is going to do. So all of these pontifications and all of these things that are going crazy, McNair got burned in the worst way possible last offseason. He lost his starting shooting guard, and he had a deal worked out where he was getting Dante DiVincenzo on the cheap. Didn't make anything. Would have slid right next to Tyrese Halliburton and been a power backcourt as like a, you know, one's a defender that can shoot, one is crafty all over the place. Like, he got burned. What we're seeing now is we didn't get any draft prospect workouts. They didn't tell us anything. We didn't know, like, I think Anderson reported like 80 prospects came to Sacramento. I mean, I know a handful of them. A lot of it was Kings fans combing Instagram for pictures of Alperen Sengun, like standing out by the gummy bear statue. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't know what he's going to do, and we have no idea what he has on the table right now. The only reason we knew the Lakers deal was they were pushing hard to finish that. Someone in LA, I assume, was pushing hard to finish that deal and was trying to get Montrezl Harrell to buy in. They're trying to get Montrezl to have a conversation with, you know, Rico Hines, who's a friend of his with the Kings, and say, look, come on aboard. And then at the last second, that deal was out there so much, all the iterations of that deal, that Washington just sat there and went like,
Westbrook?
Let's just give up Westbrook for that, and we'll take on that, and then we'll go move those pieces. Like, if nothing else, we got the number 22 pick. We got rid of a guy who puts up a bunch of stats but hasn't won for a while. Let's do this.
Yeah. So let's just go back to it again. What do you think the value is for Buddy Hield and Marvin Bagley?
The answer is we don't know.
Yeah,
we don't know what the value is. Like, you saw again the deal last year where allegedly the Kings offered Marvin Bagley to the Detroit Pistons for what's his name, Sadiq Bey, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's one person's report. We don't know if the Kings asked for a first-round pick and Sadiq Bey. We don't know if they asked for a second-round pick or two second-round picks and Sadiq. We don't know. So we're still confused about what happened there. Like, the Kings have movable pieces. They have an $11 million contract in Marvin Bagley. They have an $8.5 million in DeLon Wright. They have a $23 million contract in Buddy Hield. They've got a $20 million contract in Harrison Barnes. They have little contracts, the $1.5 million in Jamias Ramsey and Robert Woodard. So now you got $3 million or you've got $1.5 to add to deals. They can tinker. They even have a $3.6 million trade exception and a $2 million trade exception. They could do a ton of different deals that make sense for them or make sense for other teams. We don't know what was on the table, what will be on the table. And then the other thing is, I'll say this. We're going to get to a point here where a bunch of teams – think they're going to be able to sign this free agent and that free agent, and they're going to be so excited and they're going to win. And then, like, let's just take the New York Knicks, for example, where they thought that they were going to add LeBron James and Carmelo and like all of these guys at one time, and then they ended up with like a Broke and Amari Stoudemire and maybe Carmelo and that like one other player. We don't know what's going to happen. And then does Buddy Hield's value change at that moment? Does Marvin Bagley's like value change if the best power forward or the three top power forwards are off the board and the team's looking around saying, man, we probably do need to bolster that position. Let's go see if the Kings will talk to Marvin Bagley. So like the whole league is in a state where you just got through step one, which was a draft. Nothing happened with the Kings, which I'm surprised, but you know, this that doesn't mean that nothing will happen. And then you get to step two, this couple of days before, where you can start making trades. Guys who are basically on sign-in trades are going to be discussed. You know, like the Lakers already know what it is that Dennis Schroeder wants. So we're going to have this awkward phase, but there also can be deals in that phase where guys who are not free agents can be traded for each other. And then we're going to get to the first day of free agency. We're going to know a lot more. And then by day three of free agency, now, like, who lost out, who's winners, who's losers, and how do they recover? And so I think Buddy Hield's value will fluctuate greatly throughout the days. I think the same thing goes for Marvin Bagley. And if you're a team who adds all kinds of crazy defense, or you're a team that really does a good job of adding a really top-end small forward in free agency, but now you have a whole shooting guard and you need a shooter, a guy who can really space the floor, maybe your small forward that you had before works in a trade for Buddy Hield. So again, like, Vince, I know everyone wants to say, why didn't you make the deal? But the fact is, deals change all the time. Most of the deals that we see out in the public are not the deals that will happen. They're not deals that have actually even fully been negotiated, some of these. They're just one person calls another person and said, hey, we had conversations about De'Aaron Fox. And what does that mean? Like, well, we asked for De'Aaron Fox, they said no. That's still a conversation. And so you have to look at all of these things and kind of step back and say, okay, what's real, what's not, what is feasible? And we won't know if, I say this all the time, you can say you have a $5 million house. If all you can get is $2 million, you have a $2 million house. I hate to tell you. Yeah. Like Ben Simmons is a $2 million house that they think is worth five. And at this point, like at some point, the realistic, like everyone knows the relationship is fractured. The offers aren't going to get better. They're not going to get better. And they're only going to get worse for a guy like Ben Simmons. So what are you going to get? And so like, look, I think we're in for a wild ride. There's going to be so much movement that can happen here.
Yeah. I mean, I won't keep you too much longer here, James. Man, trades can be crazy. One trade I'll throw out there that I would like to see the Kings do is get involved with Orlando. I think they have a lot of forwards over there that you can get in a return for a Marvin Bagley deal. That's a Chuma Okeke. Send him to Sacramento. You guys got what? You got Isaac coming back. You got Wagner now. Chuma Okeke can come over here. That's a deal I like. And then the Indiana Pacers, Miles Turner. But let's now focus on free agency. There's a bunch of players that I think could really help this team, but the number one player on that list is going to have to be Rashawn Holmes. What are you hearing about the Rashawn Holmes front? Does it look like the expectation is he will be coming back, or do you think that maybe he's going to test the market and see if he's worth? Because I believe you reported they're looking for an $80 million deal for Holmes, and I'll be perfectly honest with you, James. I don't think I'm paying Rashawn Holmes $80 million. So what are you hearing on the Rashawn Holmes front?
Yeah, I mean, is anyone paying Rashawn Holmes $80 million? I think that's the question. And, like, look, again, we can talk about the $5 million house that's only worth $2 million. I mean, it works in a bunch of different ways.
Right.
Like, you could want to get an $80 million contract, but, like, do I think 4-year 60 is more fair for Holmes? Do I think a 4-year 70 or a 4-year 65? Like, I think he's still in that range, that 15 to 17 million. I think 17 is a little steep. I think that 15 is probably 15. Where I would like.
I'm not going past 15 for him. I'll be honest.
Well, but you can say I'm not going past 15, but you also have to realize that 15 in California versus 15 in Texas that's a completely different paycheck for him.
That's true.
So
that's
like true. You're gonna have to pay A, the King's tax, even if you've been here, and then B, you're gonna have to pay the California tax. And so again, like $15 million versus $17 million, that actually isn't that much different.
Right.
And are true. You gonna walk away from your starting center for $2 million? I mean, so basically what you're saying is I would rather have Damian Jones on the back of my roster than pay him an extra $2 million and not have him. You know what I'm saying? Like $2 million, you have to look at what does that mean in NBA standards. Jamias Ramsey makes $1.5 million. Robert Woodard makes $1.5 million. There is an end to the equation where you go, okay, like, look, I'm not paying anymore. But the problem the Kings have is they can only pay him a 4-year, $50 million contract as of right now. And that's under his early bird rights. And if you're somehow able to get him to sign that contract, like this gets a little complicated. If you somehow get him to sign that contract, you still have your mid-level exception. So you can go out and sign another $10 million player, right? And you still have other options here. If you sign him to the MLE, which gives him a 2-year deal at $10 million and $11 million, but the second is a team option, a player option, then you have his full Larry Bird rights. You can sign him for any amount of money next summer. Or you can go out and you can clear up a bunch of cap space, like what we've talked about, and then you can sign him and hope that you can make a bunch of moves that make sense for you outside of that. So, I mean, you can't just put all your eggs in Rashawn Holmes' basket at this point. You can't really just give away Marvin Bagley if you don't have Rashawn Holmes, because now I don't have a power forward or center. That's why the Lakers deal made so much sense. Mm-hmm. You trade out Buddy, you get Kyle Kuzma, who's now your starting four, and you get Montrezl Harrell, who's now your backup five. Now that instantly says I can go out and trade. Without any question, I can trade
Bagley.
Marvin Bagley and know that I have Montrezl can play the center. I'll have, you know, Rashawn if I get him back, who can play the center. But I can also eat a couple of minutes a game with Montrezl and Rashawn Holmes on the court at the same time. There's also a point where I can slide Harrison Barnes over and play some four. So I know that I have, and then I still have Chimezie Metu. I still have Damian Jones. I have the players that I need for that position. I'm all locked up. Now let me go add my small forward. You know, and again, is that Moses Moody in the draft? Is that Mo Harkless in free agency? Whatever that is, you can figure it out then. But when that deal fell through, that's why it was such a gut punch. Yeah. And I could fully see, like, I can tell you, I could see a pretty clear picture of what I would do if I were Monty McNair, what I would do knowing Monty McNair. If you draft Avion Mitchell, you now have DeLon Wright. You take DeLon Wright and you try to ship him to Portland in a straight swap for Derek Jones Jr., who did not work out there last year and who you chased in free agency. And now I've got that lanky small forward guy to play behind Harrison Barnes when I move Harrison Barnes over to the four. You know, now I've got a 3-4 rotation of Kyle Kuzma and Derek Jones Jr. and Harrison Barnes. I've got my forwards taken care of, right? Like, at that point, do you even need to bring in Mo Harkless? Because again, you can shift some of your guards. You can do 3-guard sets for some time. I think we all think that Terrence Davis can probably eat a couple of minutes at the small forward position. You know, so you see what I mean? Like, when you have the rug pulled out from underneath you, now how do I rebuild another deal that looks similar to that? And to be honest, people could love or hate Kyle Kuzma, they love or hate Montrezl Harrell. That deal just made too much sense for the Kings.
Yeah, I mean, for me, Montrezl would have been like a Scott Pollard for the Kings. Just comes in there, high energy, gets you a ton of boards. There's a walking double-double, and he can easily play both the four and the five for you when you're whether you want to go small or you want to go double big. Like, he made sense. Kuzma, I mean, you're taking a gamble, but the guy proved that he can get you buckets in the first,
especially under Luke Walton in LA.
Right. Like, he's a guy that, like you said, Walton already knows him. He knew how to make him successful, even though that team was terrible. Knew how to make him successful and putting him in situations to be successful. So that there's a lot of questions that are going to be had this offseason. I feel like I could ask you more and more, but you know we're running short on time here, James. So I just want to wrap it up here. Before we go, one name you think Kings fans should keep their eye on once free agency begins towards the Kings. Not Rashawn Holmes, not a player that they currently have, but someone that you think is probably on their radar that we're not even talking about yet.
Well, it's going to be the backup plans. That's what it is. I mean, unfortunately, if they lose Holmes, that would be a tremendous gut punch. I could see something like Josh Richardson making sense as a small forward candidate. If they feel like, you know, they have to do a sign and trade, and maybe, well, they can't do a sign and trade with Holmes, just because he wants more money than they can offer. But you know, that's a guy that I think is going to be available with Dallas. I would say Nerlens Noel, which is a downgraded version of what you're getting out of Rashawn Holmes. He's never truly proven to be reliable on the offensive end, although on the defensive end, the metrics are nuts. I would say that even if they bring back Holmes, you could look at that as a potential player. But like, the Kings have so many holes to fill,
yeah,
and so little time to do it. Like, you got to figure out how to shake this thing up and move this thing around super quick. So that's a couple of guys. Like, I don't know. I haven't dug so deep into free agency because I do, you know, I do mock drafts and I do cover the draft so extensively for both Kings and Warriors with NBC. So I shift gears. I mean, I know a lot of the names that are available, but, you know, the Kings don't have a lot of cap space. That's right. The problem.
They need to make a trade. That's what we're eyeballing. We're eyeballing what's the trade that you're going to make, because that's the only way I feel like they're going to have any type of move. They don't have any cap space. Their cap space is so limited, and it seems like as of right now, their eggs are in one basket. At least that's how I've been viewing it from the outside looking in. Is all their eggs are
not as limited though. If Holmes isn't there, you do have some cap space. Like, you are going to be able to do something.
But there's not like Nerlens Noel is your backup plan. That's a significant drop in my opinion. I think Nerlens Noel is a straight up 15 minutes a night backup center. Every single night.
No, I don't fully disagree with you there. I mean, I think you might be able to get him into the 20-minute mark, but I'm sort of on the same page with
you
there.
Are you going to bring Hassan back?
No, I mean, like, I can't imagine them bringing Hassan Whiteside back. I don't even think that's on the table. Like, I don't think they would have any interest at all unless they totally had to. But you have to do something. I mean, whether it's Alex Len, whether it's, you know, like some of that secondary group until you can actually swing for the fences at a different point.
Yeah.
And, or until you can get to a point where someone else needs shooting so bad that they'll take on a Buddy Hield in a trade. Mm. Or, you know, and heaven forbid, you know, we always like just gloss over this, but what if you do give Marvin Bagley one more shot and he ends up fulfilling his potential and takes it up to 18 and 10? And all of a sudden, and he plays 75 games. Like, what happens then? Like, I know we want to just say, oh, just, you know, he's not a King anymore. I mean, the dude averaged 14.5 points and 7.5 rebounds, or 14.7.5 rebounds a game. He shot the three ball. Like, I know we all just want to shake our head and say no, but he might be at this point. If they lose Holmes, he might be the best option. And then if you bring in a Nerlens Noel to back him up, and then you bring in some sort of stretch four, now, I mean, like, they're gonna have to get creative, man.
Yeah, I'll be
like,
honest.
Like, there's a break in case of emergency situation here that is very possible.
James, I used to have a ton of stock in Marvin Bagley Island. I've sold almost every – I think I have only, like, 10 shares left. I don't know how many more I can handle of Marvin Bagley, if I'm being 100% honest with you, but I hope he proves us everyone wrong. He does stay and he turns out to be fantastic, or he gets a change of scenery and turns out to be fantastic. I think he has a skill set. It's just I feel like he's moving down the Bobby Portis area, where Bobby Portis is still a good player. It's just,
hey man, if you could get Bobby Portis, you know, as your starting center, you'd probably do it.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, he's a mean dude who gets a little squirrely at times, but I mean, the Kings need a mean dude who gets a little squirrely at times, which is why they drafted Davion Mitchell. You know, that's what they need some of that personality. And so look, I get you sold your stock. I totally get it. And I would predict that he wouldn't be back, but we just got through the draft. He's still a king. Like, yeah. And you know why? It's because they don't know. They don't know what they're going to be able to do.
Yeah.
And you cannot just dump the number two pick in the draft, who like put him side by side with Jaren Jackson Jr. Jaren Jackson Jr. has had major, major injuries, has played like 8 games more. And let's be honest, when he does play and Marvin Bagley does play, he is a substantially worse player. Marvin Bagley is the guy who is like the poster child, specifically because he was drafted ahead of Luka and Trey. Now, Jaren Jackson Jr., you can put him in the same, if somehow there's a different player that was drafted there by the Kings that was equally as, or even somewhat good, like DeAndre Ayton or something like that at number two, Jaren Jackson would be the Marvin Bagley of that draft. And he's kind of getting a free pass and living under the radar and somehow still a huge part of the Memphis Grizzlies' future, even though he averages 5 rebounds a game as a big man.
So he's not really a rebounding big, but he is a defensive big. He is a stretch four. His feet work just to come off those pick and rolls in defense is solid. I am a Jaren Jackson supporter. That's like if Marvin Bagley brought more energy defensively, I don't feel like there would be so much criticism toward Bagley. The problem is that when you look at Bagley's game, it's so one-dimensional in terms of his offense. Like I get he shoots a couple of three-pointers a game, but I can tell exactly what post move he's going to do by the way he grabs the basketball. You know what I mean? Like his game is starting to become a little bit more predictable. And if it's only offense that you're looking for, then I mean that's why I started selling my shares in him. I mean, I hope I'm wrong. I hope he turns out to be an amazing player. I don't wish ill will on anybody or any bad skill on anybody, but I've sold all my shares. I'm just saying
you can't give him away if you don't know what you have.
That's true.
And that's the reality of where the Kings are. You know, we had a better deal 2 days ago. This roster was potentially completely morphed 2 days ago. It's not. And now you have to figure out how do you get back to a position like that. Like, I don't think that there was a better potential deal to reset the roster than that. Is there another deal out there for the Kings? Can they find something else? And
this is a question that's been swirling on Twitter. And this will be the last question that I ask you because you're good at the cap stuff. The rumor that keeps being talked about is Dennis Schroeder gets thrown into this deal with the Wizards in a sign-in trade, and Buddy still goes to the Lakers, and Trez and Kuz still go here, or maybe Bertans gets thrown in the deal. I don't know how it would work. I mean, but is a sign-in trade, because I saw Bobby Marks post that the Lakers can't do a sign-in trade, and I'm guessing that means with other outside players, like a DeRozan deal, but they can still sign and trade Dennis Schroeder, their player, bring him back in a sign-and-trade deal that then could include Buddy Hield, but I don't know what you're going to get back or what the Wizards would want to get back in terms of a deal. You know what I mean? That's where I get kind of confused in a situation like that.
Well, look, there are guys like Ken Catanella who are behind the scenes like with a gigantic abacus who are figuring this thing out. I'll tell you this. It's so incredibly complicated, and the Schroeder deal would have to be part of a much bigger, like, four-team deal. So if you can get four teams to sit down in a room right now and work out some sort of deal, again, if he works for Washington, if Washington is interested, and that's the other thing. Number one, Schroeder would have to want to go to Washington. Secondly, Washington would have to want him. And then how do we reconfigure a trade? But in that situation, the reason why everyone's saying no, the Lakers can't do it is because the second they do a sign and trade deal, they are hard capped, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's a problem. They are hard capped. They will not be able to sign or do any other transaction at all. They can't bring in other pieces. They have to waive players to bring in players. Well, when you got four people on your roster, how do you get to a point where, like, again, if you give up Schroeder and you bring in Buddy, now I'm up to 5 or 6 players, depending on whatever transactions here. Between the Kings and Washington, they would almost have to number one, the Lakers would have to go out and make a couple of additions before that deal happened. Then after the deal happened, you would have to give back a couple of people. So even if it's like, we got to throw in Jamias Ramsey, we've got to throw in player X, Y, you know, Justin James, whatever it might be, to actually fill out the Lakers roster, because they will get hard capped as soon. It's what happened with the Warriors when they traded, they signed and traded KD to Brooklyn for, what did they get in that deal? They got D'Angelo Russell, right?
Yeah.
Am I wrong? And then they traded D'Angelo Russell for Wiggins. Yep. But yeah, they were hard capped for a year. And that's really, really difficult to live under those standards, because you have injuries, you have anything. You have to remove salary to put more salary in.
But what I'm hearing from you is there's still a chance.
I mean, look, if Bobby Marks is saying no, then there's that. But, like, tell you this. Like, I don't know why they did that deal. Like,
Westbrook makes no sense on that team.
Yeah, I mean, in a weird world, I like, how in the world is Buddy Hield worth more to a team than Russell Westbrook? For that specific team, he does. And I'll tell you why he does. Because you put him at the two, you got your shooter, then you still have the opportunity to use Larry Bird rights on Dennis Schroeder, and you don't get hard capped. That's the problem. The hard cap is the problem. It's why they can't go out and get DeMar DeRozan. Like, DeMar DeRozan, like, could not get sign and trade. There could not be a sign and trade from San Antonio. Well, the appeal wasn't there for the Lakers to do that, because once they make that deal, hard capped.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, I think that deal is dead completely, but there's always some sort of glimmer of hope that there's something. I mean, Washington did not make that deal to take on Kuzma and Montrez. That's not why they made that deal. Even they like KCP, but you know, realistically, could the Kings get involved in a three-way trade where Buddy goes somewhere, Kuzma and Harrell come back to Sacramento, and then some other piece goes somewhere else? That's the question, and I don't know. We're not going to know that for a little while here.
We have an interesting off season ahead of us here. I'm excited. I think I'm more nervous to see what the Kings are gonna do more than excited, because they have a lot of work to do. But James, I appreciate you once again coming on this show. It's been a while. I'm glad to see you back. You know what I mean? We're gonna definitely be doing it again here soon. But before I let you go, where can the fans find you online, and what can they be expecting from you this season?
Yeah, I mean, you can find me on the My Teams app, which is free. You can find me on NBC Sports Bay Area for Kings coverage. I also help out with Warriors on occasion, but realistically, it's just Kings. That's my job. I am the Kings insider for NBC. You'll find me on the broadcast, hopefully more this season. Last year was extremely difficult because of COVID and because of regulations within the building. So that's one other place. You can find me at James_HamNBCS on Twitter, which, you know, if you're a Kings fan, you probably have seen me on Twitter.
Once or twice.
And now I'm excited, because now I got all these Portuguese new followers. Love the Portuguese. Come on aboard.
There you go.
yeah, because they're all excited about Keita. So, yeah, exciting times in Sacramento. But, Vince, you're right. It's pins and needles. Like, what's going to happen next?
Ooh, here we go, guys. It's about to be a roller coaster. Follow him on Twitter at James_HamNBC. James, NBCS, I should say, at James Ham NBCS. Follow him. Subscribe to this podcast, guys. The Kings Court Podcast, now a part of the Hoop Ball Network. We are sponsored by MyBookie.ag and All Purpose Insurance. Be sure to use promo code KingsCourt on All-Purpose Insurance and HoopBall, HOOPBALL, when signing up for MyBookie. James, thank you once again. And until next time, Kings fans, bye-bye.